Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Good morning, Hey, let's rock, man. Keith McPherson on The Fan till 2 a.m. I gave you some teases to things we're going to talk about. We'll hit one of them now. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Yankees and the Mets and the wild card and the postseason and the standings. But, yeah, in the chat, they were just mentioning it. Shout out to the chat. The chat is cooking now. The chat is going now. And I'm in the chat between breaks. You guys are hilarious. my God, Jonathan Sosa. We'll get to some of the things in the chat. But I think it was Doug T in the chat said, I wonder what the slander against the bananas was. I get a text at 12:48. I'm not going to say who it's from. You wouldn't know anyway. Maybe you would. He has called the show before. He says, we got to get on WFAN right now to stop the Savannah banana slander. And I wasn't listening at 12:48. But I knew who was on. I knew who wasn't on. And I could only imagine. I'm like, oh, I've heard the same guy slander the bleacher creatures, the roll call. And since the bananas came to Yankee Stadium, it's just on brand. I don't know how anyone could slander the Savannah Bananas who put 49,000 people into Yankee Stadium last Saturday and Sunday. They had kids standing up in there dancing with their parents back-to-back days. People laughing and smiling and hugging each other and creating social media content. And it was just a whole banana festival in Yankee Stadium like I had never seen. And even outside the stadium. I don't know how anyone could hate on the Savannah Bananas who, you know, Jesse Cole, when he first started, only sold two tickets. And they get to the Bronx and they sell out 2 days back to back and they fill the streets. They go across the street to the park and they interact with people for free. People that can't get into the stadium, right? People that are just in the Bronx in the neighborhood. They give out things and they dance and they party and they just have a good time. They make people smile. And I felt like it was so timely because I was in Yankee Stadium for Banana Ball on Saturday, but I also was in Yankee Stadium for the game on Wednesday where they put up the picture of Charlie Kirk. And then the next day, President Trump came through. And obviously we all had heavy hearts for 9/11. And then the Savannah Bananas come through and the Bananas are playing against the firefighters team. And so what did they do before the game start? They bring out actual FDNY firefighters. And they do a tribute where in big letters across the field, they write, we will never forget. And they honor the lives lost in 9/11. I just don't know how anybody could hate on the Savannah Bananas. But, yo, do your thing, yo. Whatever you got to do to get through your show. And I get it. Like, when you're on the outside looking in, you don't know what you don't know. 888-808-1019. Let's take some calls. Mario in Long Beach on The Fan. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Good show as always.
You know, rocking.
Yeah, I got three quick things. One's on Volpe, one's on Judge, and one's on the Yankees.
Okay.
First of all, Judge, I hear this all the time on the air, and I try to get a hold of people, and if you hear it, it makes me crazy. They keep on saying, Judge, and then they start to say injury prone. Now, if you really look back at his last 5 years, which I did, he's averaged 142 games a year. That's 88% of the games. That's not injury prone. And the only time he missed any time was when he ran into that wall in Los Angeles, and that was egregious. Missing. They just screwed up by having that wall there. I mean, that what was it? That concrete
slab. Yeah, Dodger Stadium. They fixed it now. Yep. Go on.
Yeah, they fixed it a little bit too late. Now the funny thing about Volpe. Do you know Volpe has the best batting average of anybody on the Yankees in the playoffs?
Small sample size, but
yeah, well, 40 at bats with Keith. 40 at bats. That's not that's
well.
That's
it was
not
just,
that
it,
small.
Yeah, it's just last year, 2024, and he did play well, and you can't take that away from him. He hit,
yeah,
and they
so
gave
you
him
want
some
him
rest.
To play. Yeah, because the point is one. What's one of the big reasons why the Yankees lose? They don't always play good in the playoffs. They don't hit in the playoffs. This guy hit.
He's going to play.
Did he have a grand slam in the World Series?
He did in the only game they won.
Yeah, exactly. And the last thing is, let me mention this. I don't know if anybody thought of this. Fried, right? Fried has 18 wins right now. So I don't know if is he going to start once or twice more? What do you think for the rest of the season?
I think Fried. He's in line to get another start at the minimum. But then you got to worry about the wild card where, they could skip his start to have him ready for
exactly,
September
exactly.
30th. Yeah,
exactly. But, I look back. Do you know the last time somebody won 20 games in the major leagues? It was three years ago. Nobody's won 20 games in the major leagues in 3 years.
Who was it?
I don't know. I just looked it up. When was the last time somebody won 20 games in the major leagues? It said 2022. I'm not sure who it was. Yeah, we can look it up. That's kind of funny, right? I mean, I think if he gets a chance, that'd be great. He's 18-5 right now, man. The guy is great. Let's go, Yankees. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Mario. The most recent pitcher to win 20 games in a major league season is Spencer Strider of the Braves 2 years ago in 2023. We don't really care about wins anymore. It is nice to see Max Fried get to 18. But like I said, you're going to get to the point in this schedule where, okay, he pitched today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, He could be in line to pitch against the White Sox, and then I think it would actually line up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He could pitch against the White Sox and then be on regular rest to pitch on the 30th. So he'd have 19 wins if he gets that win against the White Sox. And here's another conversation, too, and you can call up if you disagree. 888-808-1019. I think I heard Evan talking about it. I'm pitching Max Fried in game one no matter what. I don't care if it's against Garrett Crochet. I don't care if it's against Framber Valdez. I'm pitching Max Fried in game one. You go best on best. Now, what if you lose game one? What if you win game one? Okay, I think no matter what, if you win game one, don't you want to win game two and end the series? So you throw Carlos Rodon game two. If you lose game one with Max Fried, don't you have to win game two? You throw Carlos Rodon game two. And I was saying last night, I'm leaning towards pitching Luis Gil in game three because he did pitch in the postseason last year. He's going to be fresher than Cam Schlittler, and I think Cam Schlittler should be added to the bullpen, especially if we end up dancing with the Red Sox. I think it's just going to be a lot of pressure. And, I mean, he's answered the bell, but this is a kid who grew up in Massachusetts rooting for the Red Sox. His family, friends, they're all Red Sox. Like, that's a lot. That's historic. He's been great, but I think I would give Luis Gil the nod there. Now, going back to what you said about Judge, I can't argue with people anymore on it. I'm done. Judge is injury prone. Like I said, this injury this year, two narratives, they're holding right now. Two things that people say we can't argue against. One, that he's injury prone. He's hurt again. And it's not about how the accidents happen or, diving for a ball, hit by pitch, running into a wall. They're injuries. You miss time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Time you're out. So he is injury prone. And you can't fight that fight because he's missed time and there's a lot of injuries for a guy that plays right for whatever. And then the other thought of him being a big bodied individual that, you know, he's 33, he's breaking down and who knows what he's going to be. How long is he going to be able to play in right field? They're going to have to put him at first base like that. That might have been accelerated this year. He can't throw. You know, he's got an issue with his arm where he can't throw. So I don't argue that anymore. I used to fight that. I was fighting that back in like 2020, 2021 about Judge. He missed 2023 running into the wall. He missed only a little bit of time this year with the elbow, but like he caused some issues having the DH, and you know, it is what it is. I hope he shakes it off and doesn't need to get any type of surgery and miss any time moving forward. Rich is in Springfield, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man? And I totally feel you regarding the movies like that you mentioned, The Natural and Bull Durham and 61 and any of those baseball movies. There's always backstories that take away from the game, you know, whether it's romance or a relationship with this or crime or whatever's
sure,
going on.
Sure.
But one movie, though, man, is Moneyball. I don't know if you saw
it. Oh, I've seen Moneyball. You know, yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, that's all about baseball. Even when they're not on the field, they're talking about lineups and strategy and yada, yada, yada. So that's a really good movie. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's newer. Some of these older movies that were before my time, I didn't see those. Moneyball came out what year? 2011?
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I was just going to say 2010, yeah.
Yeah, 2011. So I think I remember seeing that when it came out. Yeah, Jonah Hill was in it, and like Jonah Hill had a run of movies from Superbad on. Where yeah, I mean, Moneyball is a different kind of movie.
Yeah, man, I hear you. I have a question for you, and we know the quandary that the Yankees have in the outfield. You have to have the Judge and Stanton in the lineup, so one of them's either got a DH or play somewhere in the outfield. You know, you have to have Bellinger in the lineup, and of course Grisham has got to be in center field. So the odd man out is Dominguez. Now, I saw something today that he was taking rounds at third base. Is this something that you've heard of or that you think that the Yankees are actually considering? McMahon, is, of course, an amazing defensive player, but, you know, homeboy's having a tough time at the plate. And is Dominguez something that they're considering to get his bat in the lineup?
No, I don't think so. Thanks for the call, Rich. If you saw him on Twitter or something, I didn't see that. If he was taking ground balls at third base, it was for fun. I don't know, like Juan Soto stepped on the mound a couple, you know, days ago, and that video makes its rounds. We've seen Paul Goldschmidt this year taking grounders from second base. Like, that's what these guys do. They're baseball players. They mess around. They get loose, and they do those type of things. There is a 0% chance that they put Dominguez at third base to get his bat in the lineup. Not like his bat is that good. You saw Caballero play third base today. Amed Rosario could play third base. Those two guys are ahead of Jason Dominguez. Oh, and another thing from Mario's call, Volpe. What Volpe did last year in the postseason was great, but I can't just attach that to this year. This has been a tough year for the guy. What I hope is that he continues to get right, which we've seen good things his last two games. He continues to get right. He's healthy. The shoulder is good. And that he can start some games for us and not just be an automatic out, not throw the ball into the dirt, not commit errors, because we need him. Because they're going to have to, like, even tonight, Caballero, right? Caballero, this guy doesn't even want to touch first base. He gets on, he's touch and go. And the catcher's firing it to first base. Everybody in the world knows he's taken off. I saw Eric Bolin tweet, Jose Caballero gets on with a bunt single with one out in the second, but then gets caught stealing, really closer to a pickoff for the second out. A tremendous base stealer, but things like that happen too often when he's on. Boone talked about how, like, you know, he's got to be a little more cautious, careful. Like, he shouldn't be so carefree on the base pass. I feel like they're going to have to deploy him sometimes later in the game. Dominguez as well, as we're talking about Dominguez. Dominguez came into the game late for Stanton. Those two guys are coming. Like, there's going to be some games in the postseason where it's McMahon starting at third base and Volpe starting at shortstop. I know you guys have fallen in love with Caballero. It's easy to fall in love with the next guy when Volpe's been what he's been, but Caballero has his own issues as well. Dave is in Rockland County on the Fan. What's up, Dave?
So I'm not scared of any American League team besides for the Tigers comes the playoffs.
The Tigers? Because of Tarek Skubal?
I mean, no, I feel like they owned us in the past, and this year especially. Like that, by every last series, hear me out. Like the Red Sox, the Astros, the Blue Jays, even the Yankees won 2 out of 3. What was the Yankees score when they played the Tigers?
I was there. They got smoked. The first two games was 23-3. The Yankees only scored with 3 solo shots from Austin Wells, Cody Bellinger, and Aaron Judge. But it was the bullpen imploding. It was the bullpen giving up all those runs.
That's the issue. The bullpen is the issue now for the Yankees.
Those games were close, though. Like, I think it was Will Warren and Carlos Rodon who pitched. They had only given up 2 runs in those games. Like, those games were – the Yankees were in those games until the bullpen blew up. I don't think that's a guarantee that they're going to blow up in the postseason. Thanks for the call, Dave. I hear you, but I'm not afraid of the Tigers. The Tigers, didn't they just get swept by the Guardians? The Tigers are on alert in the Central with the Guardians, who Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase got removed for gambling. Weren't they supposed to trade Stephen Kwan, and weren't they trying to sell it? They traded Shane Bieber. The Guardians are 3.5 games back from the Tigers and just swept them in their building. So, like, it's not like the Tigers are, I don't know. I give you that the Tigers came here to Yankee Stadium and did what they did to the Yankees. The Yankees got right in that last game, but prior to that, I remember saying, I thought the Yankees could sweep them or take 2 out of 3 because in Comerica Park, I watched the Mets go there and take the first 2 out of 3, and then I saw the White Sox beat them there in their building. So the Tigers don't scare me at all. The Central doesn't scare me at all, ever. And in a series against the Tigers in the DS, or, you know, even in the ALCS, if it ends up that way, I'll take the Yankees because they don't play good in their ballpark, and I don't think that they're coming here to a raucous Bronx Zoo environment in Yankee Stadium and just going to dominate us here like they did in those 2 games last week. No, I'm not worried about the Tigers. Even the pitching matchup, it's Tarek Skubal, right? So if Tarek Skubal can pitch twice in a series, that's tough. But other than that, they're throwing Jack Flaherty. We can get to him. Casey Mize. And I don't even know who else they have. They had that, like, Sawyer Long guy pitch. The Tigers, I'm not really too worried about. I hear you, but at the same time, I don't. 888-808-1019. Joe is in Ithaca on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. It's great to hear you, man. By the way, I would love to share the first time I heard you on the radio. Too long of a story, but it was amazing. I go, this guy's a fan. Who's this guy talking? It was, hey, Keith, tell me something cool. Anyway.
Shout out to John. Yeah, maybe I'll cook up a tell me something cool for tonight. Appreciate it.
And you are cool, man, and I appreciate the way you love your kid and stuff. Anyway, what you hit on tonight was, you know, this attitude of, let's rag on Volpe. Let's rag. It's always whining. You know, this is why people talk about Yankee fans sometimes, about the way they whine all the time. Listen, we've had a real up and down year, but we're in it. And this team on paper is the best team in the American League still. Now it's on paper. But, you know, we got to have faith. And I'm excited that, you know, I go to games. I love my team. You got to have a better attitude. The whining on Facebook, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You
even
know,
even in the ballpark, like, Volpe comes up there booing him. We're doing a roll call. Volpe sucks. Volpe sucks. I'm looking around. I'm like, yo, who's doing that?
Yeah. Let's enjoy. You know, I enjoy going to the stadium. It's like the Sims guy. Best address in baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the best address in baseball. I've been following the Yankees since the 60s. All right. If you know who Horace Clark is, mm-hmm. That's a bad team. You know, things are really rough.
Mm-hmm.
And kids today don't know how good we have it. We have a real, you know.
No, we're spoiled. The Yankee fan of today, these young Yankee fans, they're just mad that we haven't won a World Series in 16 years. And they hate Cashman, they hate Aaron Boone, they hate Volpe, they hate Devin Williams. And they rather hate on the team than root for the team and then realize the grass is not greener anywhere else. Like, it's not better to be a fan of anywhere else.
Anyway, thank you for your positive attitude. And by the way, you took one for us, all that ragging the Mets fans gave you way back. You stood your ground, though. I was impressed, man. It was, you know, you called it like it was. And anyway, yeah, I don't know.
What
I
mean, we'll see what happens with the Mets, Joe. Thanks for the call. Whatever. The only thing that gets me mad is like I hear from Mets fans and I can never, like, it's so one-sided. Like, you know who I am. I'm in the chair. I just got to take it. Or I'm online. I have the followers. I got to take it. And it's like, you can never win. So at this point, I don't even do it anymore. I don't even go back and forth. Somebody will call. Be like, this guy, what was it? Some guy named Bill called when I was filling in for BT and Sal. For all the Met fans, this guy is just a mean-spirited Yankee fan, Met hater. He doesn't even deserve to be on the radio. I'm like, I can't even let it get to me. Like, it is what it is. I'll never see you. And if I did see you, you'd be pumped to see me. You would see me before I see you. It's all fun and games, man. It is all just banter and fandom and back and forth. And, some people are negative with their own teams. You know, even me. Like, I have some nights where I'm like, this team sucks. This team plays stupid games, wins stupid prizes. But I'm a fan of the team. I cannot tell you how much I want to win the World Series. How much I want to experience that. I've told you my story, man. I told you my regret of not going to the last parade. Never going to the Stadium Young because I was broke. Now that I have access, I'm like, can we please get it done? Can we please win one? I know my life would change ridiculously just being someone in, you know, this atmosphere. That reminds me of the other text I got as I go to my notes. So I told you the bananas text, right? That was at 12:48. At 2:08, I get a text. Yo, you listening to this debate right now? The most popular Yankee fan on The Fan has been talking about Judge being the MVP over Cal Raleigh at night, and they left you out. Okay, so I cut it on because I was watching the Met game, and I'm like, I'm listening, and I don't feel like I'm left out, but I do have this sense of, like, I know everybody listens to this radio station. It doesn't matter if you're on at 12:25 at night. It doesn't matter if you're on at 12:25 during the day. All of this stuff circulates. It's on podcasts, and everybody's listening in and out or this, that, and the other. And all week I have been banging the drum. Remember, I took aim at the MLB Network, and those are my pals. I used to work over there, used to lift over there, loved eating over there. The food is super cheap over there. They've got a whole great kitchen, and nothing costs more than $5-$10. But I took aim at MLB Network because I watched the leadoff spot, and I think her name's Dani Wechselman. She was campaigning for Cal Raleigh. And then my guy, Harold Reynolds, at night on MLB Tonight was campaigning for Cal Raleigh. And then Dan Plesac had a whole segment. I'm like, what? Knock it off. You don't have to do this. And I remember in my little time working at MLB Network in 2022 on a first-of-its-kind show called Off Base, we would hear a lot of chirping online about, oh, they're in New York. They're in Sea Caucus. They have an East Coast bias, right? Because everybody there is a Met fan, Yankee fan. They think that there's this, like, East Coast bias. Well, East Coast bias aside, Yankee fan aside, like I already said tonight, Dave Sims said he did the work and Judge leads the league in 19 statistical categories. I saw Talkin' Yanks put out a tweet with all of the categories that Judge leads in. And all week I've been telling you, hey, Yankee fans, raise your voices. Use your platforms, your social media platforms, wherever you are. Have the conversation as well, because they are trying to force Cal Raleigh on us. They want you to look at his home runs, his RBIs. They want you to talk about Mickey Mantle. They want you to talk about the position that he plays, the team that he's on, the win streak that they had. But they don't want you to look at any of his warts. They don't want you to look at all of the things that he does not do better than Aaron Judge. And I've been rattling off things all week, and then I tune into the afternoon drive show, and they're citing Big Mac, they're citing Gio, and then, of course, Sean Morash is giving his thoughts on it. And all three of those guys are in the camp of Cal Raleigh. No mention of the nighttime host, Keith McPherson, who obviously is a Yankee fan and has been telling you all week, it's Judge, it's Judge, it's Judge. Unless they pull a Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic situation, where Jokic went on to win the finals and finals MVP after they gave it to Embiid. They were just trying to find a way to not give Jokic three in a row. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson should have won the MVP. But when is Josh Allen going to win it? Josh Allen had been a favorite for so many years. When is Josh Allen going to get it? Lamar's already got two. They give it to Josh Allen. It's a thing that happens, right? You almost take it for granted because you've seen it so much. You almost take it for granted because the numbers and seasons are similar. Tonight I heard Ken Rosenthal take Judge's 2022 MVP and say that he won it over Ohtani only because of the historical relevance, right? Because he broke the American League home run record. And that's the only reason. I'm like, that's not the only reason. There were a bunch of other categories. You forget Judge almost got the triple crown that year, right? But the Twins played games with Luis Arraez, and they didn't play him in his last couple games, so his batting average would stay. Hey, fast forward to this year. Judge is up there, and like, he could win the American League batting title this year. What are we talking about with Cal Raleigh's 240 average when Judge was hitting 400 to start the year? When we were all watching Judge play, and we're how long is he going to hit 400? Aaron Judge has so many statistical categories, and throw all of that out, right? He's doing it as the captain of the New York Yankees. He's doing it as the defending American League champions. He's doing it as the face of the game. And I get it. He doesn't squat behind the plate. But Cal Raleigh doesn't catch every game. And I said there's statistics that say Cal Raleigh's not having his best year behind the plate. He's not a platinum glove catcher this year, but they want to omit that. They want to leave that out the same way Evan Roberts chose to omit Keith McPherson that night, who my boy said, you're the most popular Yankee fan on the fan. I wouldn't say it, but I mean, I don't know if you're judging followers or interactions or just if you've ever seen me outside, it's pretty obvious. They left me out of that one today, but I'm going to make sure that you hear me tonight. 888-808-1019. I've been beating the drum for Cal Raleigh to not be the MVP and to quiet down with all of these different things that people are throwing out there about, oh, he's a switch hitter. Oh, Mickey Mantle. Oh, he's a catcher. Yeah, but Judge is the MVP of the American League, bro. There's nothing else to talk about, and it's not going to change much. I don't know. Maybe Judge can steal three more bases and Raleigh doesn't steal another one and they have the same amount of stolen bases. Maybe Judge can hit a few more home runs. I think the only way, and I said this online, I think the only way that I'll be like, all right, you got it, is if he hits 63 or 62, if he ties the record, then it's going to be really hard to put Judge over him because it's just going to be so loud. Remember how they were cutting out of Penn State football games to show you Judge's at-bats when he was chasing that? If Cal Raleigh has that type of moment here these last 2 weeks, it's going to be really hard for us to fight all the other people saying, Cal Raleigh deserves it. Cal Raleigh's your MVP. No, he's not. Knock it off. It's Aaron Judge. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan till 2. We're live on YouTube, live on the Odyssey app, 101.9, 660 AM, taking your calls. Until I get out of here, Carlos, you're on deck. We'll come to you right after.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. This.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Okay, let's take a couple calls. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll do a tell me something cool. We'll get to the football conversation in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Keith McPherson on the Fan, dial 888-808-1019. Carlos is in Clifton, New Jersey. Carlos, thanks for holding. You're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up? A couple of quick points. I got one Savannah Banana Report point, and then I just want to ask you something about your football teams again. I don't understand how these guys are saying that Cal Riley is the MVP. How many intentional – they're not intentionally walking this guy. They still don't believe him.
I got those notes ready. So
they're missing that point.
Judge has 23 more walks than him, and Judge has 31 intentional walks this year.
and Riley?
Yeah.
And how many –
Cal Raleigh has, I think when I was looking at it earlier, 92. You can add two more walks for Judge today, so I'll go back and rework the math. But earlier when I was putting my show notes together, I wrote down Judge has 23 more walks than him and 31 intentional walks on the year.
Intentional walks. Unbelievable. And he missed a month.
Oh, so I also did that work too. I also did that work because he missed a month. He doesn't have as many... plate appearances. He doesn't have as many at-bats as Cal Raleigh. So when you factor in that and the number of home runs, right, Cal Raleigh going into today had 559 at-bats with 56 homers. That's a pace that he was hitting 9.98. Judge at 507 with 48 homers, his ratio is 10.56. So Judge wins in that category as well as the amount of home runs per at-bats.
And they're walking him because they've seen this happen for 3 or 4 years straight.
He's the best in the game. He hasn't become the best in the game because Cal Raleigh exists, right?
But you know what happens to everybody else? They become numb to it because they don't understand how great what they're watching.
Yeah, we're not going to allow them because we watch it every night. I said last night, and then I heard Evan say it today. There's a quote that's going around where it reads, "The MVP race continues, but if you drop Cal Raleigh's OPS by 180 points, he'd be average. If you dropped Aaron Judge's OPS by 180 points, he'd be Cal Raleigh."
Yeah, that's great. Another thing I saw today, I remember a caller said yesterday or the day before about Ahmed Rosario was sitting alone on the bench, and it's funny that you started this segment with the Notorious B.I.G. because as soon as he hit that double – it reminded me of the skit from the Mad Rapper. When he hit the ball, he got the second. He's like, "I'm going to tell you how mad I am."
I led the show with that tonight because Steve Vaccaro is out there in Minnesota, and he's the one who called and gave us the bird's eye view. He said, "What's up with Ahmed Rosario? I was watching the game at Target Field. He was sitting on the bench away from his teammates." And we had the conversation last night where I'm like, it's because of playing time. He's looking at Caballero get the starting job. He's looking at Ryan McMahon play every day. He's looking at Austin Slater get hurt and then come back and be leading off and getting in. He's like, "What about me? I hit a 2-run bomb at Fenway. What about me? I want to get some love too. What am I doing here? Why'd you go get me?" Well, tonight he got an opportunity.
You, you always say it. I think I always hear you say it. Iron sharpens iron. So these guys are like, this guy's doing this. This guy's and
they're competitors. They're like, the best in the world. Right. They want to. They want to compete and play. They all want to be out there. If they didn't, they wouldn't be in the major league.
Now on your football point, just an on-air bet, no money, anything. You got to do me a favor, and I know you're going to say it's not happening. If the Giants beat the Chiefs, and I know I'm crazy for saying this, you got to put them on. You got to make them number five, and one of your teams you're thinking about coming on board. If they beat the Chiefs.
Thanks for the call, Jonathan. It's funny because I wrote down a little note here as we were looking up the different movies and whatnot, and Moneyball came out in 2011. That's the last time the Kansas City Chiefs started 0-3. What were you doing in 2011? 2011, I graduated college. 2011, some of the other stuff that I was doing, I probably don't want to even say on air. 2011 was a long time ago, man. I don't see the Chiefs losing this game. Go ahead and bet it. Bet the Giants money line like we did last week. I know I bet the Giants last week because I was the one telling you in the offseason that they have the toughest schedule. But early on in the year, there's going to be some spots to pick. This might be one of the spots. The Giants are playing bum bum ba-na-dum, dum, bum bum ba-na-dum. They're getting pumped up because they know they'll be the only game on. Okay. Okay, I told you last night that Xavier Worthy was out. He's coming back for this. He's coming back. Of course he's coming back for this, right? This guy has a torn labrum like Volpe, but a fully torn labrum. He's been practicing this week. He's trending towards playing Sunday against the Giants, and it's Sunday night. And he's a speed demon. He's going to get that Volpe cortisone shot. They're going to send him to Volpe's doctor on Sunday morning. He's going to be revved up, ready to go. Boom. Who's covering him? Deontay Banks? Cordell Flott? I don't know, man. I look at teams like the Giants and the Chiefs. One has done a lot of losing. One has done a lot of winning. When you put those teams on the field together, the team that knows how to win games, they're going to win games on the margins. They're going to do the little things to scratch and claw and get a win. The Giants are going to do the little things to lose. And I already said it last night, but you might not have been listening. I don't know. I don't have the numbers on who's listening, who's not listening. But I said it last night. Playing at home can also work against them, the Giants. Playing at home in front of your fans who are disgruntled, who are upset, who are tired of losing. Like, if they go three and out a couple times, boo. If Russ throws a pick, boo. We want Dart. Start Dart. Start Dart. Like, you know what I'm saying? And the world is watching. Patrick Mahomes, he's used to that. Did you watch the game last week against the Eagles? I don't know. But sure, we'll make the bet. If the Giants win, they can come in at number five on my potential NFL teams that I'm going to sign with for my fandom. Right now, I got the Buffalo Bills. I got the Buccaneers. We'll talk about the Bucs and the Jets, too. I got the Ravens, the Jaguars. I'm looking for a fifth team to throw in the mix. I don't think it could be the Jets. After watching that Jets game last week, I'm like, I swear watching that Jets, I'm like, I have seen this Jets game every year for the last 10 years. It was like deja vu. It was like weird deja vu. I'm like, it doesn't matter who's in the jerseys. They find ways. They find ways to blow a game. But yeah, I just don't see the Giants winning. I don't see the Giants winning. Is Andrew Thomas going to play? Did we get a report on that? Is that confirmed yet? We got to wait till tomorrow. Well, it is tomorrow. Is Andrew Thomas going to play? I was screaming about that. I said, after you watch James Hudson, let's see. Jordan Renan said, Andrew Thomas is going to take a lot of reps again on Thursday. That happened. Came out of practice well yesterday. It's a good sign. Like, what are we waiting on, big homie? What are we waiting on, big boy? You want to play or not? Looks like we might get Andrew Thomas in the lineup on Sunday, according to Fireside Giants. Dan Duggan reports, the impression I got from Dable is they're expecting Thomas to make his season debut on Sunday as long as the week goes well. Well, when the injury report comes out, I don't want him to be probable or doubtful. He should be a go. Like, he should be a go. They need him. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Josh in Passaic on the Fan. What's up, Josh?
Yo, Keith, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, it's crazy. I talk crazy, all busy and stuff, and I try to call you, but, like, it's crazy how much, you know, they've changed now, like, back in China, and there's just a lot of work and everything. You know, it's moving on in life and stuff, you know.
You done grown up on us, Josh. See, when you're a kid, you got a lot of free time to listen to the Fan. You can call whenever. Now you have a kid of your own. You've got bills. You got things to worry about. You got to cook dinner. You got to, yeah, I bet it's stressful. How's your wife doing? How's your wife? How's the mortgage?
Build up, you know. No, it's baby steps. So, you know, the same thing, you know, I look at a guy coming to ninth grade, like, oh, he thinks he has so much to do. Like, look at what we have in 12th as well. You know, you're looking at me right now. So
high school, man. Yeah, high school. You got to get ready for the SATs.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, getting on to my Messi for the Giants. So, it's a great thing to see, you know, like, they had all the storylines waiting for them, you know, can't make the back-to-back years. In that they came losing streak, and give them credit, they don't lay down. You know, it starts out from on Sunday, you know, even after they blow the lead, you know, the Mets don't come back from those. You know, Alonso still, he puts the Suns back, you know, he better get his contract back. You know, our confidence is completely changing him. But then to take finally a series from a team that's good, a team that's going to be in the playoffs, and it's just a confidence-inspiring thing. And, you know, it's the thing we say with the Mets is you can see two things happening. You can see them getting swept in the wild card. And then you can see them just win the World Series. You can literally go in two opposite directions. Like, if the pitching ends up being there, you know, and the rookies play well and the hitting comes, then it can totally dry up. So, like, you don't even know how to get, like, a good onset on the playoffs and stuff. But, you know, hopefully at least, you know, now it looks better than it did a week ago about making the playoffs.
Yeah, baseball is crazy. As I said before, I love it because it's so unpredictable. It's such a winding road. Now you see the Mets do what they need to do. You see them go out and hit. You see them take a lead, not blow the lead. You see the starting pitching hold. You see them get creative and piggyback to win a game. You see a young guy that they've called up have his best start. You've seen guys like Pete Alonso. Like I said, Mets fans better remember that, hey, when you lost eight in a row, who was the guy that showed up and hit homers every single day to help right the ship? Even tacked on with the sac fly today, and then the bullpen holding. Like, now you're seeing them do what you expect them to do, and it's not too late. It's not too late to play your best baseball down the stretch to ensure that you get into the postseason, and maybe that carries over in the wild card round. Anything can happen.
Right, and it's like, imagine that, like, Alonso barely came back to our team, right? He pretty much left at some point. It's only because no one else signed him. Like, would you imagine what it would look like? So, you know, got to be thankful for that. You know, flipping over to Giants and stuff, like, I know it's a little late after the game on Sunday, so I'm going to put my thing on it on that. Like, if you're an honest Giants fan, and you can't call that game devastating loss, you can't be confident in your team to win, especially with the Giants, till you see there's no time left on the clock. And it's not going to be a surprise if a guy kicks a 65-yard field goal against you, especially if it's a Dallas kicker. But, you know, we've seen tons of those 58-yarders, 60-yards, 61-yards, quick plays, a flag, a pick. It's just who the Giants are, and, like, there's no reason to standing even though the Chiefs 0-2. So that's another crazy thing. It's like the one thing you can say, like, to try to make the Giants sound good is the team that's been to the Super Bowl the last 3 years, the Giants have the same record as, you know, heading into, like, week three, which is, you know, that's a big point over there. Like, how that's happening. So I'm just hoping they don't get embarrassed, but having a hard time seeing them pull out a W, especially on primetime. And, you know, if the thing about Daniel Jones not being able to do primetime and stuff is true or not, we'll see. And already seeing that doesn't really make too much difference who's behind that quarterback, even though Russ did pretty good Sunday, but, that, you know, that was the Cowboys' defense. So we'll just have to see if, like, if the two parts are real about Daniel Jones not playing well regular and not playing well prime next to the Giants or Hinkie. Things you're taking, like, over.
You got it, Josh. A couple things. You know, the Chiefs haven't won a game since the AFC Championship. They are starving. They are hungry, especially Patrick Mahomes. And when I said, did you watch that game, Patrick Mahomes was running the ball. He was the leading rusher. He had almost 70 yards on the ground. He ran one in. He was, like, willing them to victory with his legs. I also talked about last night at the end of the game, Chris Jones saying, man, you barely had 100 yards to Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts saying, you know, we won the effing game. Shut up. They were able to hold them to 100 yards passing. They were able to keep Saquon under 100 yards rushing. Like, the Chiefs' defense did what they had to do, but in a game like that, when I talk about teams that are used to winning, the Eagles found a way to win that game. Field goal difference to win that game on the road in Arrowhead. The Chiefs have had to go to Brazil. They got a home game. Now they're coming here. And I don't know. It's going to be a challenge for the Giants. I don't think they're going to get embarrassed, though, Josh. I don't think they're going to get embarrassed. I just think that similar to like the way that they found a way to lose in Dallas, which, man, I was watching that game, and I knew because I used to be a Dallas fan. I know Brandon Aubrey is good from 60 is automatic. But, like, he's good from 65, 70. So as I'm watching the game, I'm like, if he gets anywhere around that star, it's 3 points. In a climate-controlled AT&T stadium, like, he's automatic. I guess Shane Bowen didn't know that. Shane Bowen took accountability today. He said he wished, you know, like, the call was different or something like that, or the they played tighter defense. But Malik Nabers hit the night-night. He hit the night-night after he caught that touchdown. Nah. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference between winning and losing. A team that's used to winning games knows that they got to go out there and get a stop. I would have been sending a blitz. I would have been trying to, you know, push them back, have them lose yards. But, yeah, I left the house for overtime. And, you know, Sunday is a day where I'm doing my work. I'm watching the Yankees. I'm watching the Mets. I'm also watching the Jets and the Giants. I'm putting notes together. I'm looking up things. But then I also got to be dad, too, and spend time with my wife and my son. So I'm like, all right, let's take a walk. Let's walk to the bars in Hoboken. And I'm watching the game on my phone as we're walking up. And there's so many Giants fans outside. There's a street in Hoboken where they block off the street from traffic. And there's a couple bars that have people out there. And damn, the dejected look on the Giants fans' faces when Brandon Aubrey kicks the winning field goal in overtime, it was like, people were sick. And I said to my wife, too, because there was no seats, and I told her, I'm like, give it a couple minutes here. I'm like, Brandon Aubrey's going to kick this field goal to win it, and these people are going to get out of Dodge. They're gonna get out of Dodge. They're gonna call Ubers and get on foot and walk down the street, and it emptied out. It cleared out. We were able to walk right up, get a seat. And I started watching Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs going up against the Eagles, man. You got to know how to win. You got to know how to close out games, your coaches, your players. And I just think that this is a game that the Chiefs, no matter how it plays, if it's low scoring, if it's high scoring, I gave you some keys last night. Isaiah Pacheco, Jersey kid, he came here and turned up on the Jets. It means something to him. Coming back home to New Jersey, he's from Vineland, went to Rutgers. They're going to get him going. They're going to try and run the ball. And now you got to deal with Xavier Worthy. You haven't seen much film of him. You know who he is. He's the fastest 40 time ever. They can give him a jet sweep. They can throw him a tunnel screen. They can throw him a go route, a post route. It just presents another thing that you got to worry about and defend. And now you just got Russell Wilson's, you know, one of the best games he's had in years. Can he do it again? Him, Wandale, Malik Nabers, can they do it again? Can they duplicate that? I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game. I think also expect them to expand on the package with Jaxson Dart. Jaxson Dart was used as a decoy to get Cam Scataboo going. Now, the next week, what you do, Jaxson Dart's going to pull the ball. Hopefully he doesn't slip and fall. Jaxson Dart, hopefully they let him throw the ball. Hopefully he doesn't throw a pick. Like, they got to, you know, show some new wrinkles in the package of plays with Jaxson Dart. And it's on Dable, man. You go 0-3, the season's effectively over. You go 0-3, these fans are going to be starting to get ready for the Knicks to start training camp. 888-808-1019. We'll do a Tell Me Something Cool. I have some Tell Me Something Cool stuff from the Yankees, Judge, from the NFL. I'll put a couple more things together for this Tell Me Something Cool, because Joe was like, yeah, the first time I heard you was when you were doing Tell Me Something Cool. So I don't do it all the time. I don't want to. I do Big Shot pretty much every night. But Tell Me Something Cool is more of like a special thing to pop up, you know, once or twice a week. So we'll do a Tell Me Something Cool to start the 1 o'clock hour. And then it's wide open for your calls. I see calls on the Yankees, the Bills, the Red Sox, the Astros. And of course, now I've started to talk about Sunday Night Football with the Giants hosting the Chiefs. So we'll get into that, and then I'll definitely talk about the Bucks and Jets matchup as well. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.